Hello, it is Monday, September 13th. I am Trent Rinesmith, and this is another edition of the Come On Now MMA podcast, and here is what we have for today. Conor McGregor had a terrible weekend, and I talk about how he screwed up in two big ways. The World MMA Awards have a problem with, speaking of Conor McGregor, the Mac Life and a journalist for the Mac Life. I speak about how the World MMA Awards and the Mac Life could rectify that problem, but I don't think either will do so. I speak about a possibility of a Jake Paul-Jorge Masvidal fight, and I think that now that Endeavor is in the picture and that there are stockholders is also in the picture, that we are more likely than not to see a Jake Paul versus Jorge Masvidal fight in the future. Paddy Pimblett is getting a lot of good press, but he also has some baggage that comes along with him. And I think the media is forgetting about that baggage and cheerleading maybe a little too hard for Pimblett without acknowledging that problematic past. And I talk about Jessica Andrade, her OnlyFans, and how the focus should not be on Jessica Andrade and her OnlyFans, but on the poor UFC pay. And now, on with the show. Former two-division UFC champion Conor McGregor had himself quite the weekend, and none of it was good. None of it was good. Started off with 9/11. He was flying from, I think, Los Angeles to New York City for the VMAs, and during that flight, he decided that he was going to, I guess in his mind, pay tribute to the people who were the first responders and also the individuals who lost their lives in the attacks on 9/11, which is all well and good. And he was going to do so by pouring a drink and offering a toast to those people. Again, all well and good. Things got a little gross and a little weird, in my opinion, when he mentioned that the toast was his liquor brand, Proper 12. And it just felt that it became at that point less about 9/11 victims and their families and the first responders and more about Conor McGregor and the shilling of his swill whiskey. And it was distasteful, it was gross, and it was just a bad, bad scene. Now, I know some people praised him for that. I don't see that. I see this as another incident of Conor McGregor seeing an opportunity to advertise himself and his products, and he took that opportunity. It was reminiscent a little bit in my mind of when Michael K. Williams died a couple days before that 50 Cent took the opportunity to use Michael K. Williams' death to hashtag his whiskey, and I don't know, whiskey or his liquor brand or his alcohol brand in the post about Williams, which was incredibly distasteful. And I see what McGregor did here on 9/11 with shilling his Proper 12 brand equally distasteful. Now, you could say that he meant it, but if he would have meant it, why the need to mention the brand? If it's about something other than Conor McGregor and about something other than Conor McGregor's whiskey brand, then do something other than put the focus on you, which is exactly what he did. There's ways to do this. What Conor McGregor did was distasteful, was nothing but a commercial for himself and his whiskey, and it should be acknowledged as such. He looks bad by doing this. It was nothing to do with 9/11 in my mind. It was all to do with Conor McGregor and Conor McGregor's whiskey. And if you don't believe me, ask yourself, when's the last time Conor McGregor did something that was altruistic and truly not selfish? And you'll be hard-pressed to find that because Conor McGregor is nothing but a walking advertisement for Conor McGregor. He doesn't have the depth of a personality to do anything but advertise himself and anything that will make him money. And as that was bad, and that was probably the worst thing that he did this weekend. The VMA thing with Machine Gun Kelly was just stupid. I don't know if McGregor is the one of these people who thinks that any press is good press, but he hasn't had any really positive press for quite a while. I'm sure he does the charity work, but in my mind, charity work is not about what you do in the media for your charity, but what you do behind the scenes. And Conor McGregor doesn't do much behind the scenes, as far as I know. Conor McGregor is about advertising himself. And so he went to the VMAs. I don't know what transpired, but it ended up with him getting in a scuffle with Machine Gun Kelly, which I don't know why you would get in a scuffle with Machine Gun Kelly, because I just don't know what the importance of him in the MMA world or Conor McGregor's world is. But Conor McGregor is of the thinking, of the mindset perhaps, that, you know, keep your name in the press and it's all good. It's not all good. Now there's the thought that maybe this was a setup and staged. I kind of would buy that if I hadn't seen Conor McGregor do a DraftKings kind of commercial just the day before, and it was awful. Conor McGregor cannot act. So to say that this was staged, either he did a lot of training for this, or it wasn't staged. But Conor McGregor is not a good actor. And so I don't know what he was thinking. Maybe, again, he wanted to keep himself in the media, but it's not a good look. And it all points to Conor McGregor kind of reaching to a point where he's going to have a breakdown of some sort, or he's going to do something even more egregious than he already has. And at that point, all his enablers, his fans, his people on his payroll, the UFC, his management team, his gym team, Endeavor, they're all going to have a lot to answer for, because I don't see this ending good for McGregor. And at some point, something bad is going to happen, and everybody's going to be pointing fingers at each other at that point. We all see what's coming down the pike here. It's not good. Someone needs to get involved, and if they don't, and I don't think they will, because to get involved would be saying no to the money machine. And when you shut off the money spigot, well, then you're in the minds of these people, maybe you're cutting your own throat. Conor McGregor is reckless. Conor McGregor is headed down the wrong road. No one's saying no to him. Someone needs to step up. And if he cuts you out, well, at least you made an attempt. At least you know you did the right thing. At this point, no one's doing the right thing that's involved with Conor McGregor. And when the scales tip, you're going to have a lot to answer for. And hopefully you at least feel some kind of guilt when that happens. But I doubt it, because it's kind of the relationship here where everyone's screwing everyone over, and the end result is everyone's happy because they're making money. Conor McGregor had a terrible weekend. Nothing good to report out of it. And I don't see any changes in his future unless someone helps him, or he decides, you know what, I've acted the public fool for long enough. Speaking of Conor McGregor, am I the only one who finds it kind of laughable, would be the right word here, I think, that the Mac Life is up for Media Source of the Year and that one of its writers is up for Journalist of the Year in the World MMA Awards? I can't be the only one that thinks this is funny and kind of pathetic as well, because the Mac Life is owned by Conor McGregor, or at least Conor McGregor's group. And if you're a journalist and you're receiving a paycheck from a fighter, you're not a journalist. You're a PR hack at that point. And if you're a media source that receives money from them, sure, okay, you're a media source, but you're still a PR source as well. And so there's a big conflict of interest there. At first, I was going to place all the blame here on fighters only for putting the Mac Life and the Mac Life's journalist in these awards, but I kind of think otherwise now, because you don't have to accept a nomination. So if the World MMA Awards is comfortable nominating a fighter paid and fighter owned website for journalism awards, I find that kind of crass, because you should know that you're not a journalist if you're on someone's payroll that is among the people that you cover. That's not journalism. I know we have many people have kind of a not very strict journalistic outlook in MMA with its relationships with promoters and fighters, but at the very least, pretend not to you know, consider someone who is on the literal payroll a journalist or a media source, because they're not. At least you have a little bit of wiggle room with ESPN because they're not on the UFC's payroll. They are paying the UFC. That's still a very gray area, but it's not as gray, but it's not as black as white as what the Mac Life has. That's a black and white conflict of interest. Fighters Only should have known better, should not have nominated them for the World MMA Awards. I would find them 75 to 90% responsible for this F-up. The rest goes on to the Mac Life because they did not have to accept that nomination. They could have turned it down. They still could turn it down. You could say, you know what? We are not comfortable being on the payroll of Conor McGregor and his group, that we should be in this category or in these categories, and then, you know, withdraw the nomination. That would be the right thing to do. That would be the thing to do if you had journalistic integrity. I reached out to Fighters Only, got no reply, and I reached out to the Mac Life about their feelings on this. Also have not received a reply from them as of yet. If I receive a reply from either, I will let you know. I'm not counting on it. I think that the World MMA Awards should scratch those two awards for the Mac Life from the nomination. And if that's not forthcoming, I think the Mac Life and the journalist of the Mac Life, I keep saying journalist, but the writer for the Mac Life should withdraw themselves from the nomination and from the voting process. That would be the right thing to do from both sides. I'm not counting on it. I think the World MMA Awards are a joke. I know there's some weight put on this by some folks, but I put zero weight on it because they showed what their integrity is with this nomination, these two nominations. And if they go forward and the vote goes and these nominations make it to the final vote, we'll know that the World MMA Awards are nothing but a farce and a way for, you know, a bunch of people to get together in Las Vegas once a year and meet and greet, shake hands, glad hand each other, pat each other on the back for such a great job. But the reality is it's a farce, and it's nothing more than a little party. A party that I am glad I am not a part of. So now we are at this point where Jake Paul wants to fight Jorge Masvidal. At least I think Jake Paul wants to fight Jorge Masvidal. And so the question becomes, will the UFC allow Jorge Masvidal to fight Jake Paul? And yes, the question is allow, because the UFC contracts, as we know from George St. Pierre and Conor McGregor, you don't get to do what you want if you're under the UFC's if you're under a UFC deal. Even if you are retired from the UFC, and that deal could, because that deal is still in place. George St. Pierre wanted to fight Oscar De La Hoya. Dana White said, I don't like Oscar De La Hoya, so you can't make money fighting Oscar De La Hoya in boxing because I own you until you fulfill the terms of your contract. And hey, you might be retired, you're still a UFC property. So we know that when McGregor fought Mayweather, there was a chunk of change that went to the UFC for the UFC allowing McGregor to fight Mayweather. Is that gross? Absolutely. Is that shady? Absolutely. Is that the way the UFC does business? Absolutely. So the UFC took a giant chunk of change from McGregor to facilitate that fight taking place. And it was, from what I remember, and don't quote me on this, but I recall that there was talk at the time that it was the most lucrative fight of the UFC's year that year. And all they had to do was say yes. And that was it. And they made a ton of money. Now, we know Endeavor is in kind of some not great financial situations because of the inability for it to make money during the pandemic. Again, that's not their fault. It's just the business they're in outside of the UFC. Not a lot of opportunities to make money for some place, for an organization like Endeavor right now. And so will the UFC allow Masvidal to fight Paul? I don't think the UFC would or will. Will Endeavor get involved? I think there's a good chance that Endeavor will get involved. And remember, Endeavor owns the UFC, and Endeavor has stockholders. So it doesn't really matter what Dana White and the UFC think in this situation, because when you have an ownership group and that ownership group has to deliver to the stockholders, the responsibility isn't to Dana White and the UFC, it's to the stockholders. And so would Endeavor say okay to get this free money, even if it's not nearly as much as the Mayweather-McGregor fight? I would not say no to that situation, especially if the inability of Endeavor to make money extends even longer than it has because of COVID-19. Free money is free money. And Endeavor, knowing it has stockholders and knowing it has to satisfy those stockholders, would be hard-pressed, I think, to turn down free money. And if I was a stockholder and not interested in, quote-unquote, the sanctity of the fight game, I would say you need to get that free money and allow this fight to happen. And so then it becomes, does Masvidal to agree to the amount of money that the UFC wants to take from him to make the Paul fight happen? It's a whole weird situation here with the UFC, but I think that outside of the UFC, if Endeavor gets involved, if the stockholders get involved, I think there's a better than 50-50 chance that the UFC and Endeavor will see Jorge Masvidal box Jake Paul if Paul really wants that fight and if Masvidal wants that fight. And I think Masvidal will want it just because it's, you know, easy money. And I think he thinks he can beat Paul. And I think Masvidal will do a good job. He's a good striker. He's someone who can box. And if he's focused, and he's the Jorge Masvidal we saw who turned it on and became the knockout artist that he became, you know, maybe it's a career resurgence for Jorge Masvidal. And this is a way, would also be a big way for Jorge Masvidal to go from kind of a black sheep that he is right now to a fan favorite once again. Would it be a temporary thing? Sure. But I'm going to say that MMA fans are going to forget a lot of what Jorge Masvidal did and said as of late if he fights Jake Paul. So there's a lot of moving parts here. I think there's a lot of more moving parts in this situation than there were in the Mayweather-McGregor situation. And I put it at greater than 50% that we will see a Masvidal-Paul fight if Paul wants it. He's kind of leading the dance here. And so we'll see where it goes. But if Paul really wants this, I don't think we've heard the last of these conversations. Patty Pimblett. Now, I know we're having some kind of Patty Pimblett party here in the MMA world and in some of the MMA media. And it's getting kind of to a point where it feels like maybe some of the media are doing actual PR work for Pimblett. And I would recommend against doing that. Well, because it's not journalistically sound, and also because that Pimblett has said and done some problematic things. He's made xenophobic and nationalistic statements. He didn't walk them back at all. If anything, he doubled down on them, and he didn't seem to understand what he was doing was wrong or questionable or was a bad look. Now, okay, if he feels these ways and he has problems with immigrants representing his country, and he has problems with, you know, whatever he has problems with, that's fine. But know that going in, and be aware of that when you're doing, when you're pushing Patty Pimblett as this great guy that you're, you know, you think is going to be the future of the UFC. Keep in mind that that baggage comes along with him, and Just something to keep in mind. Pimblett is not this squeaky clean guy that he is being portrayed as and portraying himself as. Is he a good fighter? Sure. But there's some problems there, and they're not going to go away because Pimblett really never addressed them other than, you know, kind of doubling down on them. So be careful journalistically where it gets a little gray, it gets a little wiggly, where you're doing PR work rather than just reporting on a fighter. Again, this is an MMA problem that goes back a long while, and I think the media gets a little comfortable at times with fighters, and some media want to be friends with fighters and all this, and it's I get it. It's tempting, and especially in a media landscape where many of the members came from being fans, and you know, once a fan, kind of always a fan, and you get caught up in these things. I get it. I just hope people are aware of what they're doing and are careful with what they're doing and being aware of the baggage that some of these folks bring with them. And in this case, Paddy Pimblett has brought some xenophobic and nationalistic comments with him to the UFC. So just something to be aware of. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not casting doubt on anyone. I'm just saying this happened. Be aware of it. Don't gloss over it. You don't have to focus on it, but don't gloss over it either. Jessica Andrade has the right attitude, I would think, about an OnlyFans account that she opened a couple months ago. I guess her and her wife had a conversation, and they both decided, you know what? Andrade is young and popular, and she can make some money with an OnlyFans account. And she made, from what she said to MMA Fighting, she made a lot of money with her OnlyFans account. And good for her. I have some feelings about the other side of the equation, that a fighter under contract for the UFC who has fought for titles, who has held a title, who is the number one ranked fighter, I don't think that fighter should have to worry about generating income outside of their fighting. I think that they should be provided for by the UFC in a way that they don't have to worry about their income, and that their focus is solely on getting better as a fighter and providing the UFC with better fights and better quality fights. But the UFC is not concerned with that. And so fighters like Andrade have to look for outside ways to make income. And so her and her wife discussed OnlyFans, went that route. The bad thing about this is that a photo, I guess, leaked of Andrade, and luckily, she thought this all through. She knew going in that this was a possibility, and she kind of shook it off, laughed it off, has a sense of humor about it, and everything she is doing and saying in this situation is correct. My problem is not with Jessica Andrade. It is, you know, it's her body, her decision, her life. She's made money enough to help her immediate family, her wife's family, and that's great. My concern is that we are overlooking the fact that a top-level former UFC champion, needs to look for a secondary way of earning money. That's the problem here. Don't make this about Jessica Andrade. Don't make this about trying to shame Jessica Andrade. Make this about the UFC's shameful pay structure, that a fighter who has fought for the title, who is the number one ranked fighter now in a weight division, and is a former champion herself, has to go out and get a secondary source of income because the UFC pay is so poor. That's the problem. That's the focus. Focus on that. Don't focus on Andrade. Focus on the UFC. And that's all I have for it today. I will be back later on in the week. And until then, everyone stay safe.